For this workshop on March 4th of the Winter Springs City Commission, Andrea, would you call the roll? We've got a little feedback on the mic. Maybe it's better now. Okay, Andrea.
Mayor Charles Lacy.
Here.
Deputy Mayor Kevin Cannon.
Here.
Commissioner Gene Hovey.
Present.
Commissioner Ted Johnson.
Here.
Commissioner Tiana Hale.
Here.
Commissioner Jeff Kendrick.
Here.
City Manager Kevin L. Smith.
Here.
City Attorney Anthony A. Garganese.
Here.
We stand for a moment of silence and then the Pledge of Allegiance.
Please face the flag.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Commissioners, I am hoping there are no changes to the agenda because it is short and sweet. May we adopt it as presented?
No objection from me.
Hearing no objection, it stands adopted. And first round of public input. Mr. Tom Becker. As Mr. Becker works his way forward, I'll note that even though this is a workshop, we do invite public input both at the beginning and the end, time permitting, and normal rules apply. Please try to stay within 3 minutes, and the floor is yours if you'll start with your name and address, please.
Sure. I'll try to do my best. First out of the chute, I guess I better not disappoint. So Tom Becker, address is 308 Heatherwood Court, Winter Springs. We recently relocated here in the fall of last year. So today here I'm speaking on the subject of the development on 434 and what is currently happening. Anything I'm going to say is going to be caveated by this information. When I went to the Winter Springs website, I was unable to find any information on development plans or mitigation strategies for 434. All I was able to find was a zoning map. There's a bunch of applications in there, but there's no building codes, restrictions, or anything like that. When you bubble up that information to try to find out maybe on a programmatic countywide effort, there's no information there. That information all points to the state of Florida, which tells me that state of Florida isn't going to tell us how we're running our city. So if there's any current development plans in place, I'm unaware of those things. So anything I say could be null and void. So two specific things I have to talk about. One, directly on the other side of my house, between my house and 434, there was a turning lane put in last year that actually turns into our development of the reserve there. When that turning lane was put in, they put down a whole bunch of concrete pads there for construction equipment to build that. Those concrete pads were recently reclaimed, but now a swamp is there. There's no vegetation, there's no anything, and it's a collection area for water. So it has me concerned for mosquitoes and for noise reduction. So that's my very specific issue. My larger programmatic issue is the subject of noise, traffic congestion, and general speed of vehicles on 434. With the amount of development that's going in on the north side of 434, you can see a fairly large population increase that's going to be occurring here. And already when I sit out by my pool and I'm trying to listen to my TV, I know this is first world problems here, I have to turn up the TV all the way up to 100 to even hear anything from the TV because the sound from the vehicles is so loud. There is a wall there, but it is not providing hardly any kind of barrier for that sound. My greater concern over time is safety for my kids running around on their bikes and everything, which I understand there is a trail there, so that is nice. But property values. I mean, property values will continue to go down if noise levels go up. So I'm interested in understanding from the city's perspective, as citizens come forward with issues like this, understanding this is a state-owned road, I can see that there's a special touch from Winter Springs on that road. When you go from Oviedo to Winter Springs and then back out to Longwood, the same road looks very different in all those areas. So I'd like to understand if there is an active plan for Winter Springs to maintain this road and this population growth. And if not, and we have to go, plead our case to the state, what does support from the city of Winter Springs look like? Mm-hmm. So that's all I had.
Thank you, Mr. Becker. John Horan, former chairman of the Seminole County Commission.
Thank you, Honorable Mayor, Honorable Commissioners. I appreciate the opportunity to address you this evening. I I can remember watching about 2 weeks ago some of the goings on here with regards to the moratorium and some of the other stuff and so forth, and that harkened back to when I originally ran for office in 2010. And my good friend, and of course you probably know him, Carlton Henley, he had a conference with me, and I said, Carlton, what is the essential thing I need to know to be a county commissioner? And he said, John, you need to be able to count to three. You have a more complicated job, apparently. If it involves an ordinance or you act in a legislative capacity, you apparently need to be able to count to four. And let me see. One, two, three. One, two, three. So neither side can count to four. So I don't think we need any more drama with regard to moratoriums or anything else like that. Everybody understands that it's three elected officials who feel one way and three elected officials who feel another way, and all of them are elected. But what you need to do is you need to respect each other. And you need to understand that you need to get to four in this situation because your charter provides that. You need also to have these workshops and have people here who can tell you what you need to know. If you're going to modify your comprehensive land use plan, which is supposed to provide for a number of different things, it's supposed to provide for a diversity of development. It's supposed to provide for economic development. It's supposed to provide for municipal services. Municipal services? Your 91% residential tax base. That's not balance. Moratorium isn't going to help that. Comp plan amendments aren't going to help that. You don't have enough room in a remainder of Winter Springs to have enough commercial development to actually get back to balance. In fact, Winter Springs is the only municipality, and again, you're a municipality, in the entire region that has that kind of an unbalanced tax base. And you got to ask why. There's a number of different reasons, but you're going to have to come in with some kind of expertise, bring in the property appraiser, bring in land use expert, to figure out what your real problems are. And it's got to be attached to the money. Give me about 20 seconds, I can sum up. I spent some time today looking at your financial statements. And basically what you've got is you've got that same imbalance that shows up financially. You're over-reserved in your general fund budget to the extent of $5 million. In other words, you have $5 million more than your reserves should be that you've taken from the people. You're not doing anything with it. And you're not building any infrastructure. Same thing last year. Last year, your water and sewer ran a $5 million surplus.
Mr. Ann, I need you to wrap up, please.
Okay. So these are the kinds of issues you need to address. What I would suggest to you is that you get a blue ribbon committee of citizens, non-citizens, and experts to go ahead, address these kinds of problems, and to advise you on how to go about solving them. And most importantly, respect each other.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
That's all the pre-filled out forms I've got, but if anyone else would like to address us, now would be the time. Mr. Miller? I know Mrs. Benton is worried about you cutting her off. But.
No, not really. I'll set up the microphone for her when she shows up, if she's going to follow me. This is going to be my last time appearing before you for quite a while. I promise you won't have to listen to me again. But I think what Mr. Horan just said.
Excuse me, Bob, your name and address.
Robert Miller, 679 Silver Creek Drive, Winter Springs, Florida. 12 years I sat up there as a commissioner when we were really the city to be of all cities in the United States. In any case, I encourage you also to follow his guidance. Try and work together. And then also work together on what really needs to be done. We've gone through a couple of months, well, 2 months now, of a lot of conspiracies, if you will. Others, I've heard that from others on this dais. I just wanted to point out, before I depart in about 30 seconds, that I think the purpose of this meeting is to begin discussing a comprehensive plan. At least that's what I thought. But I noticed that it just says workshop. It doesn't say anything else. Shame on you or shame on the city government or whoever for not at least pointing out that this is what we're really here trying to do tonight. Because a workshop is a workshop, and you know, so I came expecting a workshop on one thing, and I'm not sure what this is going to be tonight, so I'm not going to stay for the duration to find out. So I ask you all to work with each other, stop the backbiting, and let's make this a great city again. Mm-hmm. I've lived here for 30 years, sat up there amongst you for 12. And we had the same type of problems all along, but I haven't seen anything like what I've seen here recently. And I think we really do need to discuss what the people want. And that is my biggest concern right now. The people I've never seen an election like this last one we had. It was so clear what was going on. People are getting concerned about having to wait at 1792 on 434 going west because the traffic's backed up all the way to Ronald Reagan because the railroad's in there. I don't know who, that was somebody else's watch, not mine. But these are the type of things that people are getting concerned about. This, we're growing too fast. Thank you for listening to me, and I'll see you again next year.
Thank you, Commissioner Miller. Mr. Miller forgot to lower the mic.
Just pinch it.
If you wouldn't mind handing this to her. Thank you.
Thank you.
It's Sheila Benton, 414 Cedarwood Court in Winter Springs, Florida. First of all, Kevin, congratulations on your new job. I, for one, will miss you.
I'll miss you too, Sheila. Thank you.
Good evening, Mayor and Commissioners. I have supplied you with another piece of my research. This is section 101 and 102 out of the multi-code book. And it's entitled The Official Zoning Map. It's your working map and procedures. Now take note of the title. It says Official Zoning Map. This map shows you the distinct districts and zoning. It is the community development responsibility to oversee the maintenance. According to 20-202, this map is to be updated every year. Yet the latest that I could find was 2016. According to my calculations, that's 3 years. So I'm here to ask you, where's 2017 and 2018? Also, in reading 2002, under C, it says this: a copy of the official zoning map shall be presented annually to the Planning and Zoning Board for review. I haven't been able to see where that was done. And during the review, the board shall review the map for accuracy and situations where rezoning may be appropriate. Upon completion of the review, the Planning and Zoning Board shall issue a report to the City Commission. I've never seen that here. I've been around a few years. They're supposed to point out any inaccuracies in the maps and any properties which may be considered for administrative rezoning. Now, as I read that, I became concerned that maybe our zoning is off, and maybe it isn't, I don't know. But I sure hope that during this period of looking at the comprehensive and the whatnots that you're doing right now, that you'll be able to take a look at the zoning, figure out if this, if in this code this is what you all want, and follow through with it. Because there's nothing worse than to pull a multi in the code book, to pull a code and say, well, we're not doing that. And I look forward to working with you all and hearing how you all are going to develop this plan.
Thank you, Mrs. Benton. Is there anyone else who'd like to address the commission? Seeing none, we'll close public input. And there's only one item on the agenda coming up, number 500, which is really an open-ended discussion led by the city staff. Kick us off, Mr. Smith, please.
Thank you, Mayor. Commissioners, just wanted to kind of give you my thoughts on where we are tonight and what our agenda looks like and why it looks that way. If you recall, last workshop we had was pretty specific in our scope based on the then moratorium that was in effect and the legal reasons that we needed to follow and stay specific on those charges unique to that moratorium. I heard a few commissioners say during that meeting that they felt there were some other areas they wanted to discuss and that we weren't able to do so because of the constraints of let's say the moratorium. So I wanted to be purposefully a little more broad in this regard. For in part that reason. Having said that, tonight what I'd like to do, if it's okay with everyone here, is first just briefly talk about our last meeting and where we are on that. Then I'd like to ask you all to please indulge me and let's hear from Tim for a little bit as he gives you pretty much an overview or primer of where we are and a primer on LDRs and things such as that. And then I'd really like to open the floor for discussions from you all of some things that you'd like to maybe see as we move forward through this process. For example, and I apologize, Commissioner Johnson, if it wasn't you, but I believe you and I talked about some arbor codes and things like that. I know, Commissioner Deputy Mayor, you and I spoke about construction sites and trying to keep them a little more, you know, a little more shored up, if that's the right grammar, and things such as that. So if that's pleasing to everyone, Mayor, that's kind of the outline for tonight. And with that, I'll go ahead and begin, or I can stop now and see if there's any questions.
Commissioner Hale, did you want to speak now or wait until
the
staff is? Okay. Go ahead.
Thank you, Mayor. So first, as you recall at the last meeting, the commission gave staff and the city attorney direction to memorialize your feelings on streamlining the topic of special exceptions and conditional uses. And we talked about a variety of things. Anthony is working on that as we speak. It's still in the process. And possibly have that back by the next time we have a workshop, Anthony. I don't want to put words in your mouth, but that's forthcoming. I will again say we're working on that and stop quickly to see if there's any questions in that regard.
Nope.
Comment? Yeah. Nope. With that, then, Mayor, Commissioners, I would ask that we hear from Tim.
All right. Does reach.
Tim needs to raise the microphone.
thank you. Mr. Mayor, commissioners, I don't believe I've actually had the opportunity to do a full-blown presentation before you. So before I actually jump into that, I wanted to give you kind of a brief rundown of my personal background, just so you're comfortable with that. Can you hear me? You're okay? Okay.
We're good.
Mm-hmm.
Start with the ERA.
we won't touch my baseball stats. Tim McClendon for the Community Development Department. I've been a city planner for the last roughly 15 years of my life. I'm actually a third-generation certified city planner. You've got to go way back in time here, but my dad actually wrote books on city planning. One of them, oddly enough, I had to read in graduate school. And ironically, the book that I had to read was one that I actually typed for him when I was 16. he would bring home his chicken scratch notes, and then I would transpose them to the best of my ability because it was chicken scratch. I simply I talk about him because he just recently passed away. It was January, and the one of the last things I got to tell him was that I had accepted this position with Winter Springs. And again, the reason I even mention him is because my experience with planning goes beyond that 15 years on paper, what you see in the resume. You can go back even further. My dad was past president of the American Planning Association twice. The former CEO of the American Planning Association used to drive me to kindergarten. I've literally been surrounded by city planning my entire life, whether I wanted it or not. But I have just three simple goals here tonight for you. One is pertains to this presentation specifically, and also future presentations. I never want to come off as too technical, though sometimes that may occur. So I'll apologize now if that does happen. Feel free to stop me at any point if I ever do that. I really like to involve folks, and I don't want to get lost in the planning jargon, if you will. The second goal here tonight is to give you a brief update on where we are with the comp plan and the EAR process, the EAR update, what it actually is and what it does. There's been some confusion as to what that EAR process actually is, so I'm hoping to clarify that. And then third is I kind of want to give a brief rundown of the differences between a comp plan and an LDR, what those differences are, and how they differ. And hopefully that'll sort of lay the foundation for decisions that this commission makes. So to start talking about the EAR, the evaluation and appraisal review that's due with the state, I have to put my planning 101 hat on and take you back in time to the Florida Growth Management Act. It starts in 1985, and at that time, the legislature required local jurisdictions to have comp plans. It would act as the guiding document for growth for a city or a jurisdiction. It contains all of the GOPs of how a city should grow. And by GOPs, I'm sorry, I'll probably do that a lot tonight. GOPs is simply goals, objectives, policies that are contained within the comp plan. Those are, excuse me. That really lays the foundation for land use decisions that come before this board. And where we go from there is those policies contained within the comp plan are identified several ways. One is through elements in the comp plan, and that could be future land use, conservation, recreation, transportation. All of those are elements within the comp plan. And by elements, that's simply just think of them as chapters. And so as part of the Florida Growth Management Act, there was a primary state review agency. It was called the Department of Community Affairs at the time. And they became the one everybody leaned on for make sure all the local jurisdictions had comp plans. They were in compliance with the statutes. And it was back in 2011 that DCA actually went away. And if you've ever worked with DCA, you're probably very excited about that. And it morphed into DEO, or the Department of Economic Opportunity. So now DEO oversees all of that compliance with the comp plan, all the statutes, all the Florida Administrative Codes. And to jump into the Florida Administrative Code, that's actually where the EAR is located. The Evaluation and Appraisal Review. It's very simply, every 7 years, local governments have to update their comp plans to reflect any legislative changes or administrative code changes that have occurred since the last time a jurisdiction adopted their comp plan. What that means in real terms here, I believe the Florida legislative session starts tomorrow. One of the bills that's already been filed, growth management-wise, deals with the possibility of adding a new element to the comp plan. It would be a property rights element. So should that pass, we'll have by the time the EAR rolls around again, we'll need to have added that element to the comp plan. So when it comes to EAR-based amendments, we go through the normal, typical comp plan process. You transmit it to the state. The state has their ability to come back with their ORC report, or the objections, recommendations, comments report. And the ears of the real opportunity to also fix minor things in the comp plan. One that comes to mind, there's some population statistics that are out of date in the current comp plan. You could also fix minor Scrivener errors, misspellings, that sort of thing. One that immediately jumped to mind when I first got here was the comp plan in the intergovernmental element. It still refers to DCA. So it's been since 2011 that state agency has not existed. So that would be one of those minor changes. So we have to reference every time that is referenced in the comp plan, we need to go in and amend that and explain what DEO is now instead of DCA. So you jump into the year here where in 2016, the state actually sent us, the city, a letter stating that our time was coming up on the year. We needed to have it done and complete by the following year. So that would have been 2017. At that time, I believe staff asked for an extension with the state. The state granted that. And currently, to date, yeah, we are out of compliance technically. However, when I first got here, I immediately got on the phone with DEO. I've been working with those individuals at the state for the last 15 years. They know me. They're comfortable. I let them know that I'm here to fix that issue. And they're actually happy with the program that I laid out before them. So, and again, just rest assured, one of the reasons I was brought into this position is because I've done this before. I've had direct experience in completing the year process. And I can tell you from my experience, we're not in bad shape. My previous jurisdiction I worked at, when I got there, I was working with a comp plan from 1993 that was 20 years out of compliance. So for that was an interesting time. I'm not saying it's an easy process, but it's a common occurrence throughout the state that this happens. And dealing with a comp plan from 1993, catching up on 20 plus years of legislation was interesting. I was just thankful I was dealing with DEO and not DCA at the time. But and again, we do have a consultant on board. I believe the first element you're going to see in, I'm hoping April, we'll have it before this board. We can transmit it to the state, at which point they've agreed to take us off of that probation list, and we can move forward in completing the rest of the elements and move forward with any comp plans that might come up after those discussions.
So, Tim, quick question then. You're envisioning that we'll go element by element as you finish an element, they'll bring it to us, and then it'll be sent off to DEO?
Correct. Unless I can complete multiple at a time, it's just a lengthy process on my end. It's really an administrative function. You could rely on me on that, on the comp plan side of that. But
Deputy Mayor?
Yeah, so Tim, EAR stands for what?
The Evaluation and Appraisal Review.
And that's got to be done every 7 years?
Yes, sir.
Minimum, or more frequently. You can do it more frequently.
That's correct.
Okay. And that's the preliminary. And what you're seeking to do is identify areas of change in the city, and you're going to give them a preview of, like, we're going to be looking at, say, transportation, which obviously traffic is an issue. I don't think that's unique here in our city or anywhere else. So you give them kind of a roadmap, and then what you envision is then we go through element by element of the comp plan and bring it up to date. Is that
ideally you catch up on any I've actually got a spreadsheet of every bit of legislation in Florida codes that have been changed since the last time it happened. So I methodically have to go through each of these elements and update any references or changes that either to again agencies that don't exist, mm-hmm. or number changes to reflect some state statutes are identified on the comp plan, and they're out of date.
Right.
So it's just a lot of tedious, monotonous work on my end.
So part of it is the just periodic legislative changes and agency name changes and that type of thing. But then is also part of it the growth in our city. In other words, the demographics in our city, growth patterns, traffic patterns, and the rest? I mean, is that also part of this evaluation process?
Theoretically, you could do that at that time, but given the 2 years out of compliance, I would respectfully request that we handle the elements first and then come back to discuss the larger policy issues. This is I'm playing catch up right now.
Sure, I understand.
And from my professional how I've done this in the past is I need to play catch up. I need to get that fixed before we start doing anything, before we do the heavy lifting. But we absolutely could. If you want me to save the transportation element for last, and we can have those discussions at that time, I'll be more than happy to do that.
Yeah, and it's not. My preference would be to have it sooner rather than later on transportation, because traffic is one thing that we just continually hear from residents about is traffic and so forth, to whatever extent. I just had one other quick question. So policy, as I've looked through the comp plan, there are the policy objectives and so forth that are set out, and then that's broken down in more specific detail following that. That's where we as a commission adopt policy for the city as it relates to land use and future economic development and future residential development and all the different elements. So as we go element by element through the comp plan, after you get the EAR out of the way, will we also be tweaking those policy statements at the same time?
If that's the
route. I mean, if we see some, because it is, some of this absolutely is kind of old. Okay, all right.
But ideally, we would probably bring you ordinances redlined, underlined, and then if you wish to make changes at that time, we could absolutely make those changes during the presentations at that time.
Okay.
And then we can send it off to the state, get their comments, their feedback, and then be back for you again.
All right. That helps explain. Because you got the two, you got the comp plan over here, which has the policy and the sort of long-range vision for the city, and then you've got the local development regulations, the zoning ordinances, as we call them.
Which actually leads me into my third goal here tonight. Okay. Right. It was a perfect segue. Thank you.
Okay.
In my past here, the last 15 years or so, how I normally I must have taken a part of countless community meetings. And how I normally start those off is I give a brief breakdown of land use in Florida, and I've been able to do that. I've got it down to like a Reader's Digest version. It helps everybody kind of understand what's come up before them. So how I have this broken down is in Florida there are two land use regulatory schemes. One is your future land use. That's your underlying. Those are your. It's basically your comp plan. It's your 20-year, how I look at it, that's my Bible, basically. It contains all those GOPs, the goals, objectives, policies. It has intensities and densities broken down for each future land use category, each district. So think of urban low, urban medium, commercial, industrial, mixed use, town center is one. And that really is the guiding document of how the city should grow. How you accomplish that is through the Land Development Code. Also, probably you've heard Land Development Regulations, Zoning Code. Those are all interchangeable. It's the same thing. So your implementing document of the comp plan is actually that Land Development Code. In the last couple of meetings I've been a part of, while the comp plan does seem to be the hot topic or the hot talking point, everything that's been listed either through board discussion or brought up with the public really focuses on the Land Development Code. And that code does more than just implement the comp plan. It contains all the processes, whether that be the administrative end or the how things are supposed to occur in the city. It also has all our development standards, widths of streets, size of lots, heights of buildings. So it has ISR coverage, and ISR is impervious surface ratio. Sorry, it's how much concrete could be covered on a lot. It has all your FAR breakdowns, floor area ratios. So that's really your driving or your, that's how you implement your comp plan. Also contained in there is your allowed uses, also conditional uses, which require board action. And this may come as a shock to you, but there's constant conflicts between the comp plan and the LDRs. In my world, those are called inconsistencies. An easy example would be your underlying future land use. It would be, say, low density. And on top of that, your zoning for that same parcel is commercial. That would be considered inconsistent. So how to remedy that would either be rezone that property to match that underlying future land use, or perform a map amendment through the comp plan process. And always think about that land development code as zoning. That's sort of my main point. And when it comes to Winter Springs, you may not know this, but we actually have two types of zoning within the city. One is your typical, it's the, what we call the old-fashioned, the Euclidean zoning. And that covers 98% of what happens here in Winter Springs. There's probably not for here, but if you ever want to come pick my brain about how zoning started and how it came to be, I'll be more than happy to bore you with stories of Euclid v. Ambler, and it's one of my dad's favorite stories. That's the only reason I bring that up. He's got two famous stories: the Euclid v. Ambler, the breakdown of what actually exists there today from that Supreme Court case, and then a story about a non-conforming elephant that he dealt with in Oklahoma. But the other second, at least the second zoning classification in Winter Springs, is the town center. It's also known as the form. It's a form-based code. It's actually, from a planning standpoint, it's super exciting. There's not a lot of form-based codes out there. I think one of the examples that a lot of people point to is Seaside, Florida. If you ever want to see another example of that, Seaside is perfect. You can immediately pull up pictures and actually see what that's about. Euclidean zoning is more about stratified or geographically separated land uses, residential, commercial, industrial. You actually have lines of demarcation of where and how those uses sprout. But when it comes to form-based, it's really more, for the lack of a better term here, it's about the form and function of a building. It's all about, from a planning standpoint, we call it neo-traditional urban design, walkable communities, connectivity, pedestrian-based or sized blocks. You really have to go back to sort of Europe days, how everything, at least how development happened in Europe. You start talking about there were no cars during that time, so everything that was built was structured or based off of the pedestrian movement, not in the cars. You never had to worry about moving automobiles efficiently through areas. But covered that, all right. And if you want to get super technical on the town center and the form-based code, it's actually a theory of transect planning, which is also super unique. It's got history from the early 1900s here in America. And if I keep going here, I may get you to pass the AICP exam here shortly. But transect planning came out of Patrick Geddes' mind. And it's really, when it comes to transect, there's six transects that happen. You start off with the rural or the conservation side, and then slowly as you move through each transect, it gets more intense until you end up at an urban core, which is what the town center is actually trying to accomplish. So it's super fascinating. I don't want to be losing you at this point, but I could talk all day on this if you really wanted me to. But what does it really boil down to is you have the comp plan, you have the LDRs. And again, all my time here, a lot of the focus has been about the comp plan, the year process. But again, the true issues seem to lie within those land development regulations. And again, as far as that ear process goes, I'm handling that as the administrative function as required by the Florida Administrative Code. And again, whether that leads to items you'd like to see in the comp plan, I'd love to have that discussion in about 6 or 8 months once I've done my catch-up. Code changes, on the other hand, as you probably have seen, can happen in a more immediate fashion, whether that be processes, nomenclature, which was actually pretty unique, the special exception and the town center. It also confused me when I first got here, and I'm a certified planner. This is special exceptions, we're covering everything, whether it be land uses, the waivers or setbacks. It was all captured under one mechanism, which was unique, to say the least. I've never seen that anywhere else, actually. But also, items that could be discussed with this board are possibly even breaking apart the land use table within the town center. Right now, multifamily is covered just as multifamily. There's ways to break that out into separate uses. Multifamily townhomes, multifamily apartments. Also in there, I think restaurants have also been discussed. There are ways to break that out other than just to cover restaurants. Restaurants with drive-thrus, restaurants without drive-thrus, restaurants with outdoor seating. So there are ways to, you can better define uses. It'd give folks attempting to come here a better idea of what this board's looking for and whether or not those would be permitted uses or require special exceptions. And you always have the opportunity to add or subtract uses. It's whatever direction this board wants to go, we staff can act accordingly. That's basically what I want to hit home. However, you also got to always take into consideration whether it be development or redevelopment. It always has to be consistent with the comp plan. Make sure that's your underlying theme. It also needs to be compatible with the existing and surrounding land uses. Whether projects are ever approved or denied, and I'm sure Anthony can expound on this if you want to, but whenever those applications are approved or denied, it needs to be done so through substantial, competent evidence. Don't base decisions off arbitrary and capricious decisions. That wraps up everything that I was going to touch on tonight. If you do have questions, I can hopefully answer them. Otherwise, I can kick back to the commission at this point for discussion, or if you want to talk about baseball the rest of the night, I can do that.
Baseball. Okay,
you're next up. Are you ready now?
Maybe.
Okay.
We'll see. So thank you, Tim, for all of your everything that you dove into and got to have fun diving into a new election process and everything else. So thank you for sticking around. So my main objective is making sure that the residents have their input for the future of Winter Springs. And so I want to be able to work with the residents and investors or anything else that want to come here to hopefully for our future of Winter Springs, that it'll be the best place that we could imagine living in. But there's countless communities that have created vision documents. Have you ever worked with anything like that?
Vision, that's basically what the comp plan is.
Okay.
So if you're referring to specific HOAs or that sort of, I've never worked directly with them.
From what I've been reading and everything is there's like a, you can develop like a steering committee with residents and professionals that can help us know what the residents are looking for their future and what you suggest.
Well, actually, this is a perfect prime example of that. This is what these workshops are actually do.
Right. But I understand this is a workshop and then come in and everything, but how about like a committee that meets on a regular basis, excuse me, that helps us really get a feel for long-term vision?
We can absolutely look into that.
Oh. Deputy Mayor?
So, Tim, a few years back when the city, I was not on the commission a few years back. I know the mayor was up here, and I know that Commissioner Hovey was up here. When we went through the transacts in the town center code, T1, T2, T3, as you go higher up with the transect, it becomes a more intense use? Is that what, like what you were talking about earlier?
That's correct, yes.
Okay. And this, we just use transects in the town center, but some jurisdictions, although it's probably in the minority, use transects globally, like citywide, I guess, right?
Citywide would be hard to...
Yeah. But in a pocket, if they want to...
Like, in a smaller... Okay. If you look at sort of what Lake County's doing right now with their sector plan, that's ideally okay. what they're doing over... It's about a 15,000-acre area that they're attempting to do that.
Okay. So taking to heart what Commissioner Horan had to say, do you have the ability to reach out to Dr. Tomberlin, Economic Development Director over there at say, Lake Mary, and other people that you have worked with as sort of subject matter experts that could come in and guide you and us as we go through some of the different elements of the comp plan and as we try to get... I totally agree 1,000% with Commissioner Hale that we need to have and continue to open the dialogue with residents in terms of what their expectations are. But with respect to subject matter experts, I guess, for lack of a better word, do you have the ability to identify some of those that you as staff can work with and then bring some of that information to us?
I have those contacts. Whether or not they would willingly work for free, that may be.
and I know Kevin and Sean always grimace when we say this. First, we have to identify who we need to work with us to guide us independently, okay? Individuals that don't have a vested interest one way or another, but that are very knowledgeable in these various subject matters as experts. And, you know, one of the things, for example, and I mentioned it briefly to you, but I haven't mentioned it with the commission, and I will today. We don't have a handle whatsoever on what the rental capacity is in our city. There are many, many homes that are rentals in this city, even in some of the gated subdivisions in Tuscaloosa, across the board. And we don't have a handle on that. And it seems to me it would be good for us going forward on that residential challenge that we've all been struggling with. We really need to know what's out there. If somebody comes in and says, we need more residential, well, residential comes in many different forms. And even rental, it can be, you know, condos or apartments or even rental townhomes, but can also be single-family homes. And I came to a greater appreciation of this as we were really knocking on a lot of doors around the city. So I would like to know if we can look at trying to do an assessment. You know, you kind of need to, if I'm going to go grocery shopping, I go into the pantry and I look, what do we have on the shelves and what do we need? And I think the same thing from a residential standpoint. Because as I was looking through our city documents, I didn't really see, have you seen like that we have a decent, I mean, we'll know when we get a 10-year census, but that's still 2 years, a year and a half out, you know, and that we need something more, we need to know where we are so we can know what we really, where we need to be going in terms of rental properties, residential rental properties. That's just one of the, I've got some other ideas as well.
Deputy Mayor, is that typically part of the census data? Because I don't recall.
I believe that, into that it's captured in the census data, but a 10-year interval is just way too big a gap in there. We need to be doing this periodically. And on several of these things, Tim, if you can, what I'd like to know is how frequently do other jurisdictions get together with a workshop in the commission and look at changing trends in development, changing trends economically with businesses that are coming in or going out, residential changing trends, you know, schools, these are, you know, traffic. How often maybe do they reevaluate those? And I would hope that we can get a recommendation from you once we get through this process. Is this something that we would look at every 2 or 3 years rather than, you know, 9 years or whatever? So those are some of the things that,
you know, for some of that trend data, I wonder if the tax appraiser's office, David Johnson, would have any of that expertise, and he probably would be a free resource.
Yeah, well,
we've discussed that.
I had a conversation with someone in David's office, and if you've got a tax roll, and if you've got a utility roll, and the owner of the building, well, you look at the tax roll, and if the tax bill is going to an address other than the street address of the property, that's a flag. And then if our utility data shows that the utility accounts are in the name of someone other than the owner, that gives you a jumping off point. And I know for a fact that there are very bright college and high school students that would love to do internships, helping you, Tim, crunch some of these numbers and doing some of the preliminary fact-finding on this, because I think that's very important. We also, based on my review of records, and I might be mistaken, but if I asked you today precisely how many dentists do we have in the city, and how many eye doctors, and how many medical doctors, and how many veterinarians? The veterinarians you could probably guess, because that's a little easier. How many engineers? How many architects? How many? We really need to have an understanding, a better understanding of our data set, so that as we look forward to the types of professions, industries, and so forth we want to bring here, you kind of need to know where you are on the map before you plan the route that you want to take. So I haven't seen any comprehensive data like that, say within the last 5 years. If you stumble on it, please share it with us. Absolutely. If not, we need to get that data. We need to know where we are so we know where we want to be, because we could go in with the mistaken belief that we need a boatload more rental residential, when in fact we may not. We may not, I don't know. And the price points also on the affordability of housing is another issue. So I know that the state tracks data, demographic type data for our city, and I've gone in there multiple times in the last 6 years and looked at that. I believe it's through the same agency. You know what I'm referring to, the population data, the demographics on ages. They kind of do. I think the DEO has some of that, right?
DEOs.
And I've looked at that, but that from what I've reviewed, it tends to be more age and that type of thing. And I think even some income related, but not specific on occupations and businesses and that type of thing. I don't think it goes into quite that much detail. And that's something I think we really would be very beneficial for us as a city. Because once we look at that data, if we can get some subject matter experts to guide us that can say, okay, you want to bring more doctors into your city for the convenience of the residents? You may want to try this. You may want to adopt this policy or this strategy to attract some more physicians. More geriatric physicians, or more mental health practitioners, or more architects, and the list goes on. So for my two cents for the commission and the mayor, I feel like we really need to get our hands wrapped around of these data sets, so that as we're looking and planning 20 years out, 30 years out, where do we want to be? Where are we and where do we want to go? So. Okay.
Commissioner Kendrick?
I was on a call this morning with Florida League of Cities. It's quite obvious that we're moving in a direction where the state is going to be preempting a lot of what you brought up, Deputy Mayor. And I agree with you. We absolutely, it's vital to have this information. But we might want, just give you an example. If you want to go out, and if you're a citizen or an elected representative, anyone and everyone, if you want to find out who wants to be here, ask them. We need to tap a vital resource of the private sector to get this information. You can go, I spoke to Florida Hospital a year and a half ago. I see Oviedo having all of this infrastructure about the hospital, the emergency care, and I spoke to them. And within a couple days, they spit out a ton of information on why they weren't interested in Winter Springs. And they had demographics, they had a multitude, of information that we just kind of touched on. So whether it's the state, the state's going to have outdated vital statistics. It's going to be 10 years old. You want to get this information, tap the, let's include the private sector. Let's talk to them. Commissioner Hale brought it up. John Horan, former county commissioner, brought it up as well. A group of people, citizens, professionals, government professionals, industry professionals, and let's talk about where those resources exist. They exist in the private sector, and that's where we can get them. That's where we can get them almost immediately. So I think that if we want to tap that resource, we can get it. It's not going to be through the state of Florida. It can be, but you're going to go crazy trying to figure out the right information and what's accurate. We need to tap the private sector to find the accurate information.
Commissioner Johnson?
I think all this kind of ties together in what are we looking at in terms of a timeline, because this is the second workshop, and quite frankly, it just seems like we're not at a point where we could really invite the public in to have valid input, because it seems like we're still tweaking and, you know, working things out to get caught up, so to speak. So I guess my question would be, by the time the next workshop comes around, where will we be in terms of our status of what Tim has to get done, apparently, and at what point would we be able to advertise for the public to come in and give valuable feedback on the different topics that have come up repeatedly, such as the traffic, the noise, the setbacks, those type of things that I think we have an opportunity to put in place, and certainly want to get it right. So mm-hmm. I would like to see a future workshop that basically drills down to key points where people who are interested in providing input would be anxious to attend. Tonight's workshop is rather sparse, and I think the reason for that is we're just at that point where we're not drilling down to the nitty-gritty. So my question would be, by the next workshop, what topics would be out there for the public to give us valuable feedback?
Mayor?
Commissioner Kendrick?
Okay, I wasn't sure. I've got an idea. Why don't we put in the agenda and have the citizens of Winter Springs come in next workshop, not 6 months from now, next workshop, and tell us what they want. You hear all the time what people don't want, and we're trying to figure out how to acquiesce a request and do what the citizens want us to do within the scope of what we can do. Let's ask them what they want. What would you like to see?
Can I make a suggestion?
Sorry,
this is...
No, I'm
saying... There'll be another opportunity towards the end of the meeting.
When I say what you want, let's talk about specifics. Yeah. 8 years ago, Fresh Market was looking at Winter Springs. They moved down the street. Let's hear what you want. It's been one-sided for a long time. And bring it up. What do you want? What do you want to see here? And then give us your roadmap, and we know what's going on 434. We have the bottleneck. We know that there's a study going on right now. We can get traffic counts. We understand we can get the vital statistics for the schools. We know exactly how many kids are in each school. We know what, you can make a phone call and know if the rise is, how many kids are in, or how many people are in the rise, how many kids are there. We can get all that information right away, and we can use it, and we can get it quickly. But what do the citizens want? I think that would be a wonderful thing to put on the agenda. So invite the citizens in. Let us know what you want. And I mean, all five of us, all six of us up here, elected officials, we talk to citizens all the time. We hear what you want. We don't hear what you don't want. And we can opine about that. But I'd love to hear some citizens talk about it at the podium or at the microphone. Let us know exactly what you want. And we can really put it together from there.
Deputy Mayor?
Yeah, and I wholeheartedly agree with Commissioner Kendrick, is that with a little bit different angle, but very similar. I think that it would be beneficial before the next workshop in 2 weeks if we put out an outline, if you will, of traffic concerns. If we put out and ask the residents to prioritize, what is your biggest concerns? What do you want? What do you not want? In other words, I think what we should do, and leave it open-ended, but I think that we ought to go through transportation. We ought to talk about, you know, water quality, and we ought to talk about conservation, trees and canopy, trash, sound, and traffic clearly is one of the issues that we encounter, schools, concurrency, and so forth. So I think we ought to send out basically a survey that residents can, and do it electronically. I don't think we need to be spending a lot of money printing stuff up. Mm-hmm. But send it out and solicit emails, because the reality is not everybody can or will make the commission meeting or these workshops. But nevertheless, I get a ton of emails on a regular basis, and people come up to me on a regular basis. So I kind of like the idea of coming up with the top 10 areas that many of us I know have heard over and over again, and let the, you know, this is not a mystery to most any of us up here, and let's have the residents help prioritize. And then you as staff take that and say, okay, well, we can probably look at construction nuisance problems, you know, garbage, construction debris, trash blowing around, silt fences knocked down, things like that. That probably would be a very short one and a quick one to resolve. And then some of the longer ones, like traffic. Well, yeah, traffic, especially when our major traffic corridor is a city-owned, I mean, is a county highway, Tuscaloosa, and a state highway, 434. So that provides challenges with how much exactly we can do, you know, there. But I like the idea of soliciting guidance from our residents as it relates to prioritization, because the takeaway I got from you, Tim, was we need to eat this elephant one bite at a time. And so I would like to address some of the higher priority issues, at least in the eyes of the residents, tempered with your input that says, Commission, Mayor, this particular issue, like State Road 434, there ain't a quick fix to that. But we could maybe address the following items as a city. And I think we should do that. I think that we should be steered or directed by the residents in terms of prioritization of our action items as much as possible. Mm-hmm. The reality is many residents out there, probably until the hurricanes when the sewer lift stations were failing and whatnot, they don't know and they don't care. I mean, they don't know about infrastructure for high voltage lines, three-phase lines, and all the rest of that. I mean, our utility, you know, water, sewer, as long as they got water, as long as they got sewer, and as long as they got electric, the very intricate details of the infrastructure they don't care about. Traffic, school bus stops, you know, noise in their backyard where they can't even listen to the TV in their at their swimming pool because of traffic. And Tree City USA dwindling as canopy disappears. Those are the kind of things I hear over and over again. So we should use that, I think, opportunity to prioritize our action items going forward.
Kevin?
Yeah.
Thank you, Mayor. Commissioners, to the last 3 points that I've heard, I think it may feel a little bit like we don't seem like we have a focus, but in fact, this is exactly where we need to be. Typically, what we do in situations where we have one or two new commissioners sitting on the dais is we get into visioning sessions. And we're kind of doing that a little bit right now, even though we don't realize it. We're doing that, at the same time, Tim's over here working on the ear process, and we're also talking about development issues. So the feedback that we've received as a staff in the last 5 to 10 minutes, I think is invaluable for purposes of developing that plan as we go forward to the next workshop. So I think we're fine-tuning it. I think, Tim, I'm hearing it. If you're hearing it, I think we're fine-tuning where we need to go. Get out there with a survey that talks about what are your hot button issues? Invite the public in to tell us what those are. And then from that, we developed action items for the following workshop, while all at the same time, Tim is moving forward with the EAR process, and we'll marry those comp plan adjustments to any changes that you all may see fit to make, keeping in mind my favorite topic, which is, as Tim pointed out, most of what I think we're going to see will be in the LDRs, not the comp plan. But that remains to be seen. Hope that made some sense. That was my way of saying it. I think we're headed in the right direction.
Commissioner Hale?
I agree with what Kevin's saying. We are definitely heading in the right direction. I don't know, this might sound whatever. But I would like to see like some visioning boards that can, when residents come in the doors of City Hall, they can kind of see where we're at, where we stand, and they can have their input. They can bring in, you know, ideas that they've found in their own research and have that input there. And the developers and investors, they can have their own visioning board on what they know as the trends, because they are the experts, you know, and have their own thing, and the residents can see that and say, oh, that is a great idea, or, oh, we don't want that here, you know. So I just think maybe have a vision board or something along those lines for them to see. Okay. I think that would be nice.
Mayor, may I rudely interject?
Mm-hmm. Yep, sure, Kevin.
Thank you, Mayor. I think that's a great point, Commissioner. You know, obviously, not obviously, that's done very often, again, in concert with your visioning type sessions. I think we did one about 10 years ago when a, quote, more than one elected official was seated. I would say that if that's the direction you all want to hear, and I didn't hear a consensus, but I would ask if that's the consensus, Mayor, I would ask maybe for a little more time to put that together as opposed to our next 2-week workshop. Mm-hmm. Maybe when we want to look closer to 30 days out to put some of this together, because usually this is a pretty involved process. It's a very productive and fruitful and useful process, mm-hmm. but we would want to put it together, and a lot of times we do seek some type of outside help to do that kind of thing. So if we end up looking to do something like that, and that's where you guys want to end up, gals want to end up, maybe we want to get a little more time to prepare. Yeah.
Is there any objection to Kevin proceeding on that?
No, but I wanted to add to it.
No, but I'd be very interested in utilizing our website to have those boards and stuff, because you can update it easily and it's readily available to our residents 24/7. They can go there and see, yeah. and maybe even have a where they can click on it and provide input to us right through that platform.
Absolutely, take advantage of all the technology we can, and as we all know, the man to my left can handle that.
Commissioner Johnson.
And I think Commissioner Kendrick's point is well taken, as well as Commissioner Cannon's and Hale's. I think we are going in the right direction with this, and I think I don't know if there are 10 hot button items. I assume it would approach 10, but would your staff be comfortable in putting together a survey that would encompass the things that we've talked about, not just tonight, but over the long period of time? Are you?
Certainly.
Okay.
I would quickly interject, though, but before we leave tonight, if there's anything that's on the forefront of anyone's mind, please let us know that tonight. But absolutely, we feel comfortable with it, but as always, need and desperately need your input.
Well, I, you know, just speaking from experience, the overbuilding of apartment complexes, the clear cutting of the trees, setbacks, the signage, the traffic patterns, the water quality, and the impact on schools, those were easily the top group of concerns that I heard from our citizens. And then the other point I was going to make is when we move forward with that, which I think it's a good idea, can that be sent out on our e-alerts? I mean, can we communicate using that vehicle so that people will know to respond to that, or what other mechanisms?
I'm going to defer to Ed as we move forward for the best route to do that. Okay. Certainly we could do that, but we want to create the best vehicle for that interactive communication, and between you know, Ed, Brooke, and our entire staff, I think that they'll come up with the most productive way to do so, be it e-alerts or be it Facebook or be it whatever, Commissioner.
Mm-hmm. Okay, thank you.
Mayor, may I rudely interject one more time, please?
Go ahead.
At some point in time, I thought Commissioner Johnston brought up a great point. He started to list out some mm-hmm. of the hot-button topics. Can we maybe compartmentalize that at some point in this meeting, maybe even now, and ask if there are any other commissioners that right now have those hot button topics before we move on?
Well, first of all, did someone get everything that Commissioner Johnson
read
said?
We need it again.
Why don't we go back to him, let him go through his
Andrea
list.
Got it.
Andrea gets everything.
But I need it because I think there's a few
Ted, would you do it again?
Well, mine were the overbuilding of apartment complexes, the clear cutting of the trees, the setback from this road, the rise apartment came up frequently. There's concern about signage and the size of signage, you know, and I think that's mostly along 434, of course. The water quality came up frequently, as well as this capacity in our schools to absorb the population growth. And, well, in certain areas, street parking came on, but I'm not going to go there.
Pause for just a second. For people who can't see the board, I got Commissioner Kendrick, Commissioner Hovey, then the deputy mayor. But in the meantime, we have a request.
I apologize, Mr. Smith. I just thought it was opportunistic to do so.
To add to Commissioner Johnson's list. Deputy Mayor.
I'm ready to go. Traffic along our major corridors, cut through traffic through our collector roads and neighborhood roads like Winter Springs Boulevard, Shore Road, restaurants and eating and dining facilities, entertainment facilities. I'm writing down the list as we go here. I have had, as a hot button issue, I've had several people say, you know, there's no doctors in our city. And they're ecstatic that now Orlando Health has, you know, Dr. Bernal, who's an obstetrician across the street, and there'll be pediatricians and others. So I think probably just professional services in the city probably would be the best category, mm-hmm. you know, doctors and different things, because people are trying to find ways to avoid traveling on the roads, but unfortunately, they have no choice. So those were the additional items in addition to what Commissioner Johnson said that I thought were, and affordable housing. In other words, the affordability and availability of rental properties.
And Deputy Mayor, if I may, you and I have had discussions, if I recall correctly, about trash and clean up and well-run sites and whatnot.
Right.
I know a lot of other of our neighboring, not neighboring, but I know some municipalities that do a job that we could probably emulate somewhat to.
Yeah, we've had, unfortunately, a couple of examples where there's been a lot of construction debris and trash, and we periodically, so maybe going proactive like Winter Park and some of these other jurisdictions have been doing. So that's the main. And on setbacks, I'm assuming that means like the State Road 434 corridor, which encourages some of the narrower almost zero lot line setbacks. So that's probably the State Road 434 corridor, I believe, is what. Anyway, those are the, and there's one other one besides just the clear cutting. The green spaces, and let me be more specific than that. You know, for example, many jurisdictions are encouraging the use of green buffers right behind the town center. If you drive behind and beside the Publix, so if you leave Big City Pizza and you drive down behind the Publix there, you're looking at dumpsters and you're looking at stuff. And many jurisdictions are encouraging the use of natural vegetative buffers and things.
Screening,
you're not
if you
looking,
will.
Exactly. Some businesses, obviously, if it's a business, they need road frontage and they need visibility. But there's also advantages of using, as sound buffers and other things like that, natural vegetation and that type of thing. So the arbor ordinance was something we talked about a few months ago.
Yes.
But kind of tweaking the arbor ordinance a little bit, and that probably ties in with the clear cutting of trees. So those are my I think we do really well. I haven't heard any complaints about parks, folks. I think we're getting an A rating on parks and mm-hmm. and the trails and that type of thing. Recreational, I think we're doing quite well.
More to come, by the way.
Yeah, mm-hmm. and more coming. But I do think
Pavilion's looking really good over in Trotwood, just a plug there, excuse me.
Yeah, so
someone before said it looked like a log cabin.
Before we get back into the normal queue, are there any additions to the list that we've heard so far? I mean, we always have an opportunity to send it in, you know, via email or phone call to
I got a 13 mayor right now, combining the clear-cutting trees.
So we're at a baker's dozen?
Yeah.
I've had several calls about wastewater and smells, and so I don't know. I think we need to add that to that.
Maybe combine water quality and wastewater kind of into the same. Yeah, I had some inquiries just a few days ago.
So if there no more on that, you got that list.
Thank you, Mayor.
Back to the normal queue, Commissioner Kendrick.
I like the direction that we're going. The last part of everything that we're talking about is more the effect. I want to talk about more cause and revert back to what I was just saying, and inviting people in and telling us what you want. What are there QSR restaurants? Excuse me, quick service restaurants. Are there full service restaurants? Are there grocery stores? Are there things that you want to see in Winter Springs? And then, if we get some resident input, citizen input on this, and then we tell you, okay, now this is going to be the effect. Everything that we just talked about. Mm. Well, if you want to bring in, we're not even talking about apartments anymore. We can put that aside. If you want to bring in any kind of professional services, doctor's offices, restaurants, grocery stores, things like that, bring it to us. Let's talk about that. And now let's talk about the effects it's going to have on the roads. So effects that it probably not on our schools because we're not talking about multifamily. But the effects it's going to have on our wastewater. Do we have the capacity in all parts of our city, roads, sewer, water, everything that you can possibly think of, and really give us something to actually give you back to regurgitate a month from now instead of, okay, we don't want this, this, and this, or we're having problems with traffic. Well, let's understand why we're having problems with traffic. Let's understand what we can do, what's our capacity, and what effect would it have on our city so we can actually give us something to work with instead of, all right, we don't like the clear cutting of trees. All right, why do we have clear cutting of trees? Can we have some growth in little pockets of stuff that you want and have minimal impact on everything that we just talked about? I think that'll really give us a roadmap of the direction that we want to move in the future.
Commissioner Hovey?
I think I'm the only one up here that was here when we did the last visioning session, which was the manager. It was an all-day session. We were here on a Saturday, weren't we? All day.
Excuse me, just for my guess, was that the one with the Marilyn Crotty?
Right.
And
the mayor.
The mayor, Teresa Jacobs.
Yes. Yeah,
okay.
Yes. Right. We were here all day. So it is something that we can do, and I think it's a good idea. The other thing with asking our residents about the issues, and you know, I know that most of us up here on Facebook, and you see it all the time, and they have an issue with 434 Tuscaloosa, and we can explain it to them that while we can encourage the state or the county to take care of those issues, we don't own those roads. They don't belong to us, and a lot of people don't understand that 434, while it runs through our city, we can only ask the state to do something with that road, which comes to mind, 434 on the other side of the 417. I believe it's 2022 when they said they might start widening that road.
That's the latest I've heard.
And it should have been done 5-6 years ago. 10-year. I don't know where we're at with that. Tim, is that something you can check into? I know it was something that Brian was working with the state on the widening of 434 on the other side of the 417.
I don't mean to interrupt. We're in the middle of that 9-month study right now.
Is it still 9 months? Yeah. Okay.
We'll get an update for that, Commissioner.
It's okay. Almost to the end.
Yeah, it should be to the end. But those are just some things, too, that when we hear we send out the survey and we hear the issues, and there are some things that we can educate our residents on because they're not aware of it. So.
Deputy Mayor Cannon.
Yeah, on the traffic, they see our excellent police force out there. They see our excellent police force out there on 434, so they just assume, well, you know, how come the city won't take care of this traffic?
Right.
But yet they don't get it. And I think this is really important, and I totally agree with you that there is opportunity here to explain to our residents that there are some aspects that we may not be able to control. But that doesn't mean, for example, we can't reach out to the school board about, okay, you got a lot of extra dirt at Layer Elementary. What are your plans to add another wing to the school so that we've got school capacity for elementary kids? Or, okay, DOT, okay, legislators in Tallahassee, we need you to bring home the bacon and move this process along as quickly as you can. When I was talking about traffic, there's, in my mind, there's a difference in analysis between levels of service when the state, the county, or the city decide, okay, when the traffic count gets to this point, we got a four lane. And the many, many, many millions of dollars it takes by buying land and four laning versus when we're making land use decisions, especially in residential or other areas, what to us as a city is acceptable traffic congestion as a city, and how much are we willing to contribute to that traffic congestion as a city? And that's a little bit different, which is why I think it's very important for us, again, coming back to the data. Where is the data? I mean, we know, for example, there's 10,000 cars a day traveling across Little Old Winter Springs Boulevard, which is a two-lane road. And they're doing that as cut-through traffic because of 434 and Mitchell Hammock and Red Bug and so forth. So part of this is developing internal procedures to gather that data using some of the traffic counting devices and things like that so that we can monitor traffic and also peak traffic flows and things like that. I'm on board with all of these suggestions. I think this is where we need to go. I really do.
Yeah. Commissioner Johnson?
And again, I keep cycling back to the timeline and so forth, but from what I'm hearing is the next workshop, which is scheduled on the 18th, that will be essentially used to update us on our status again. Would that be a clear understanding of that?
One of two thought processes, Commissioner, either that process or I was going to ask if the Commission would be willing to let staff take this information back and whiteboard it a little bit and look and to come back maybe at the next Commission meeting or soon thereafter with a recommendation as to how and when we move forward. I'm starting to envision maybe a new visioning session. Maybe we, you know, engage the Institute of Government at UCF. I don't know. There's a lot of opportunities to maybe skin this cat, excuse my lack of vocabulary, to address the items that have come up tonight. So again, we could have another workshop and come back, but I'm inclined to recommend and ask to give staff an opportunity to go back and kind of digest this all and come back to you all with a recommendation.
Kevin, are you suggesting that on the 11th, then we'll discuss what we're going to do on the 18th or on sometime after the 18th?
It would depend on what we come up with, Mayor, to be honest. I mean, let's say hypothetically, we decide that the best route to do is a survey type thing, and we want to give 30 days for that to be on the streets. We also talk about perhaps coming back and hiring some professionals to do a visioning session like we did 10 years ago, where we invite the public and we get out, you know, sheets of paper and we start charting and graphing things out. You know, those would take more time and would not necessitate a need for an 18th meeting. Okay. I'm a little bit, a lot of things are swirling through my head, to be honest, Mayor, at this point. So I just respectfully ask for some time to come back with a
leave it open-ended. We'll discuss it a week from tonight.
Yeah, I think the answer is yes.
Okay, that answered my question. And then, but it also seemed to me that on our commission meeting on the 25th, we would have a better understanding about the workshop schedule moving forward. Because right
yes,
now
sir.
It sounds like we're going to if we invite everybody in on April Fool's Day, April 1st, for a workshop. That sounds like it could be a very lengthy event. So, you know, maybe we need to stagger that out a little bit. But
if I may, well said, Commissioner. Again, I think tonight, even though it may have seemed like it lacked focus, it was actually very focused and got us exactly to where we got the input that we needed from you all for purposes of developing a more structured plan going forward. And back to the point I was making earlier, if we could maybe just get a little bit of time to fine-tune that, I think we'll have a much better plan and thought process going forward.
Okay, so a week from today, it'll become even more in envisioned.
Envisioned.
Thank you.
Commissioner Hovey?
And Commissioner Cannon, you talked about reaching out to our legislators and talking to them. I heard on the news tonight that 3,000 bills have already been filed for this legislative session. 3,000.
And 100 of them will pass.
Yeah, last year I think there was over 2,000 and only 200 passed, so, yeah.
Deputy Mayor?
Yeah, and I say that for the first time, I'm so pleased that we have a Winter Springs resident in the House of Representatives up there in Tallahassee. And, you know, David Smith has told me, come to me, ask me for things. And, I mean, some other jurisdictions around us are not bashful about lobbying their legislators. But since I've been on the commission, I don't think we've been proactive in that regard. And I think once we kind of figure out where we are, then, you know, if it's a DOT issue, if it's other related issues, by all means, let's utilize, you know, let's reach out to our local senators and representatives in a more formal way, not just informally when we're at a chamber event, Chamber of Commerce event, but I mean in a kind of a formal way. And I feel when you're, Kevin, if everyone else is in agreement with this, as you go through this short list of 13 items with staff, if there are some items that are smaller bites of the elephant that we can kind of get done and out of the way, then let's try to maybe you guys can kind of prioritize some of those too, like sooner rather than later kind of things.
And real quick, Deputy Mayor, also there are some items that I heard come up that we already have plans of action on. They're just not ready to come to this dais. For example, wastewater is something that Lena and Sean are working on as we speak for very soon addressing of that topic. So absolutely.
So you're more, you know better, you and your staff know better than we do exactly where you are on all these different, you got a gazillion plates that you're spinning and which ones are spinning faster, which ones are spinning slower and about to be picked up. So anyway, that would be, I think, helpful so that we can keep this moving. Because I'm very, very happy that we are moving forward with in a very, what I think will be a very productive way. My concern is the old adage, if you want to kill an idea, send it to committee, right? I don't want to kill an idea and send stuff to committee. So my concern is that, for, you know, I see Mr. Stahl out in the audience and others that want to work with us, okay? But we need to try to prioritize as well for their benefit and the benefit of all of our families and businesses. If we can sort of prioritize with your guidance as staff, those things that are more manageable that we can get through quicker, then I think that we ought to try to get through some of those things quicker.
Wholeheartedly agree.
Okay. I mean, this is going to be a process. I mean, in maintenance, they call it deferred maintenance, where you kind of let things go for a while, and now we're playing catch up here with some, and I don't mean any disrespect to anybody on the dais or staff or anything else, but, you know, there's been some things that we probably, if we could kind of get back on track with it and then, you know, periodically meet and go over these going forward, I think that would be helpful because Tim's got a lot of work on his plate and so does Anthony. Two quick questions from Anthony and Tim. From Tim, what do you think your time frame is going to be for the EAR? Because until you get that through, then we can't amend the comp plan and update it. And Anthony, what do you think your time frames are just based on what direction we gave you last 2 weeks ago? I'm just trying to get an idea from them where they're going.
The ordinance is substantially been worked on. I'm probably about 2 to 4 weeks out. My next step would be to send a draft to Tim, and we were going to talk about it and put it in shape enough to present to the city commission to, you know, embellish it even further at your direction.
Well, I knew that we gave you a lot of work to do. I mean, I knew that there was a lot of lawyer effort
substantial
involved.
Substantial amount. I've already worked on it substantially.
Yeah.
And also, if I may, one of the other communities, I heard getting citizen input, one of the other communities I represent last year hired a management consultant firm to actually prepare a community survey that went live online on their website for maybe 9 or 10 weeks, and they gathered a tremendous amount of data, you know, raw data, and the consultant kind of put it in graph form and all and presented a report. Just to throw that out there. It was rather effective for
them. So that's visioning from the citizen standpoint and then visioning from the commission standpoint.
Well, they went from a very high level, like, about what they wanted to survey, and then they were open-ended.
Right.
Survey questions, of course. And the questions actually were worked on by the consultant, went through a staff review, and then went through a final commission review on what they wanted definitely to ping the community on and get feedback. Okay. And then again, the open-ended portion of the survey. And they did it. It took them a while. I mean, between preparing the survey and actually putting it out live for about 9 or 10 weeks for citizens to comment. And the survey took, I think it was estimated somewhere in the range of about 27 minutes. They were trying to shoot for less than 30 minutes for the average person to complete the survey. And something that they did, just as an FYI.
Tim, you remember the question?
I do. As far as the year process. I'm hopefully bringing you the first element here in April,
okay,
at which point the state's comfortable with taking off of that probation, at which point we could move forward with any kind of comp plan amendment.
Good. That's good time frame.
Commissioners, I'm ready to go to the second round of public input. Is there anything else from the commission before we do that?
Quick question.
Yes.
Earlier I was talking about bringing people in and asking what they wanted, and I think that's, I'm really encouraged that. However, I neglected to see that our next workshop is on the 18th. Have we decided not to have that, or are we going to decide it next week?
We're going to decide next week.
It's during spring break, so trying to grab a whole lot of people to try to get some sort of mass here, is spring break is going to be very difficult.
That's a good point.
Mayor, I thought I had consensus that we would not go forward with that workshop to give staff the opportunity to formulate a plan.
Thinking.
And
we were going to address it next Monday, is my understanding.
Okay.
Do we need a cons?
No.
We just do it?
Yeah, we're good. We're going to address it formally next week.
Okay.
So, Mr. Becker, I remember you putting your hand up before actually yelling from the audience. I could not recognize you then, but I will now if you still want to speak.
I let the emotions get the best of me.
Yeah.
So the thing about bringing everybody in and just saying, hey, what do you guys think?
I'm sorry, formalities, I need your name and your address again.
Sure. Tom Becker, 308 Heatherwood Court, Winter Springs, Florida. So the thing about asking people for things like that, if you Google the Winter Springs website and try to go to direct links from Google, you have a lot of 404s. So people can't educate themselves to understand what they need to respond with. You have to actually put in the keywords. I was back there Googling what Tim was saying, because I don't know anything about this, right? And I started getting results from the website from 2012. So it was actually very difficult to find information to educate yourselves. So I agree with Kevin's his path forward and laying out there some options. Here's some education about it. What do you all think? I think you're going to get a really much more focused approach rather than come one, come all. Let's hear what you all have to say. That's all I'm going to say.
Thank you.
Can I just make a comment, Mr. Becker? If you see those 404s, if you'll tell Mr. Ed, because they did just change the website, so that could be some of the issues.
Okay.
So anything, and Ed will gladly give you his email address to let him know what needs to be updated.
All right. Sounds
thanks.
Good.
And I don't think I said it, we're in public input, led off by Mr. Becker. Does anyone else wish to address the commission? Mr. Stahl. I'm sorry. I didn't see you. Okay, fight it out. No. Kevin McCann.
Thanks, Mr. Stahl. Kevin McCann, 1109 Pheasant Circle, here in Winter Springs. First, I'd like to commend the commissioners and the mayor for a positive, constructive, informative meeting. Thank you. The only point that I'd really like to make other than that is if we're going to be using surveys and online and using technology, just a word of caution, and maybe Anthony has a great idea using an outside firm, but if we're going to be relying on something like that for very critical and important decisions in the future of the city, that we're very aware of technology and how easy it is for an individual to skew those results. We need to record IP addresses. We need to have, you know, the if you're familiar with the surveys and things, I am not a robot kind of moves that you have to fill out, using the use of cookies, things like that, to stop an individual from skewing those or any group that is looking for a particular result. So please just think of security.
And so I need to use my VPN to go all around the world. And
yeah, right, exactly. Okay, thank you.
Mr. Stahl.
I just wanted to make a comment when they're done.
Okay. Ryan Stahl, 143 Hartson Court, Lake Mary. I'd like to actually voice Mr. McCann's comments too. You guys have done a great job. One word crosses my mind, progress. I also reflect back to Commissioner Horan's opening comments. I'm not sure if anybody else felt this way, but it felt like Dad coming in and dressing us down and walking out. But a lot of what he said was very true, and I think we all took it to heart, everybody in this room. Kevin, great job on everything you've done. You'll be missed. And I don't think you guys understand, Tim, his father, is like, this is like a son of a legend. When I heard you guys were able to pick him up, I mean, it was phenomenal, not only just for close visioning, but long-term and statewide growth. So great job tonight, and look forward to working with you. Again, progress is a key thing here tonight. We also are here to answer any questions as you guys progress forward. Love the ideas you guys came up with. And likewise, we just hope that individual questions come back, like the open websites and the ideas. And so long as you guys are able to ask us questions and we're able to offer direct input, we stand here ready, willing, and able. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Is there anyone else? Yes, sir.
Brian Schultz, 6414 Montclair Bluff Lane, Windermere, Florida. I want to kind of reiterate what Mr. Stahl and Mr. McCann already repeated, that it's good to see positive, constructive workshops. I go around the country and I'm involved in a lot of city and county workshops and meetings, and I'd have to say that this is the first time I've been at one that I haven't seen any kind of opposition, antagonistic people, and it's good to see. And I think that with that positive attitude, I think we'll become able to come to good resolutions to some of these issues that you guys have come up with. So thank you.
Thank you, Mr.
Schultz.
Anyone else? Seeing none, we'll close public input. Commissioner, Deputy Mayor Cannon.
Yeah, I just wanted to thank our city manager for hiring Tim. I think Tim is a great find. I've been very impressed every time I've talked with him, and I think everybody present today will agree that, Tim, thank you and welcome aboard. We needed you more than ever. And also, as we're going through this process, I really want to be reaching out to the various homeowner associations and their officers as well, because they're another source of feedback as well. So I think we don't want to overlook them, and we should reach out to them and try to pull them into this as much as we can, because they're the ones that come in when there's a project right around, right next to their subdivision, and they're screaming, as I would too, right? I mean, because their residents go to them and say, what do you mean this or that is going to be put up right next door to us? So thank you.
Yeah. Commissioner Kendrick?
Something a little bit off topic. I just want to make sure everyone remembers that this weekend is Taste of Oviedo, or East Winter Springs, as we like to say, and go out and have a great time. A lot of Winter Springs residents go to this. If you've never been to it, you wouldn't miss it. You don't want to miss it. It's a great time.
Thank you. That's it. There's nothing further going. We stand adjourned. See you back here next week for a regular meeting.
All right. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you.